All right.
You ready?
Shelley? I'll have to ask her whether it was just...
Okay. 10 o'clock, I'll go ahead and call the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting to order on Tuesday, March 18th, if the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next is public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. I'm not seeing anybody move to the mic. We'll go to consideration of minutes for 3/11/14, the canvas.
Move approval.
Second.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Okay. Move approval.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Consent agenda. Looks like we've added a road closure, 1428. Everything else is good to go.
Move approval. Noted change.
Second. 1428.
Got a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That takes us down to additional items.
Yep.
Consideration of resolution 1474, commitment of fund balance. Lisa Markley.
Miss Lisa.
Just made it.
No, right? Okay, as I talked to you earlier about at the budget hearing, we talked about fund balance commitments. Typically, I do this at the fiscal year end when we have the final fund balances and we commit them and or assign them and or do whatever we need to do. There are five different fund balance options for designations. What I'm asking you to do today is to do a commitment of a fund balance, which this is the first time we've done this. The reason we're doing it is because of the lease for the motor graders. A committed fund balance represents a fund balance whose use is constrained by limitations that the government imposes upon itself, i.e. a resolution. The commitment is imposed at the government's highest level, you guys, and is binding unless the commitment is removed in the same manner as it was imposed, another resolution. So action to commit must be taken by the end of a reporting period. So I have to do it by the end of a fiscal year. Since we got the check last week, I deposited it last week, I went ahead and decided to put this on in front of you for a commitment.
It's the right thing to do. Put those dollars away. In 5 years, we're going to need to redo what we're doing with motor graders. It makes sense for those dollars to be sitting there. Any future board, if they don't like what we're doing today, could come along and undo this. So I'd move approval of Resolution 1474.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Resolution 1474 is approved.
And again, thank you, Lisa, and staying on top of that for us and everything. So
no problem.
Appreciate it.
Next is consideration of project requests for the 2014 facade grant program. Ryan Newstrom from PD.
Good morning.
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 Do you recall at your January 21st meeting, you approved the facade grant program for this fiscal year and moved that the applications be accepted in our office with the deadline on March 1st. We're happy to report that we received two applications for this year's grant program, one from the City of Collins and the other from the City of Zeering. And I'll just go through each of those real quick. First one is located in the City of Collins at 224 Main Street. A building owned by Rick Clark. Here you can see a picture of the north side of that building. Excuse me. There's the front. But on the north side of the building is where they're looking to do the work. They're looking at cleaning up that chipped up paint there and sealing it up and then painting a mural that will be visible as people drive downtown. As staff, we've reviewed this, and it is an eligible project, and we think it's an exemplary example of what we're trying to achieve with this program. They're requesting $1,000, which is the maximum extent of the painting grant, and which does not require the city match. They stated that the project would cost well over that, but they'll be receiving extra funds via donations and volunteers in the city. The other one is at Nigel's Bar, located in Zeering, right on Main Street there. I'll just show you a picture of it here quick if I can find it. There's the front. As you can see, the frontage of it doesn't really match the other buildings, which are mostly brick downtown. So they're looking at replacing that steel front there and replacing it with a color of brick that matches the rest of the frontages in their downtown area. Their expected project cost is $10,916, of which, as proposed by us, the 20% would be $27,2905. And again, we feel this is an exemplary example of what we're trying to achieve with this program. So we would just request that the board approve each of these requests. We're not asking for disbursement today. Again, the projects need to be done in June, and after that time, we will come to you once we get all the paperwork from the cities and request disbursement at that time.
Could I ask type of follow-through, when the notification went out and we set a deadline for this, did we do anything outside of the normal posting to see if we other people at least received the notification and considered other projects, or did we just kind of leave it up to the individual communities to communicate to us?
We sent an email of the grant application to each city, the city clerk and the mayor, as well as mailed hard copies of each. And then we also had Mr. Drew Camp, who's the liaison, worked with each one of these cities on any projects they might have.
And I think Drew took the extra step of calling each one.
Right. Yeah, well, I thought so, but for the record, I just wanted to just do that because
so often. And I'm surprised there were only two.
Me too.
I'm surprised there were only two, but I think we recognized, through Leanne and Ryan, we recognized that this year was the first year out. We only budgeted $10,000 for this, so we knew there was going to be a smaller cap. Now it ends up being $4,000 or thereabouts. That's all said and done. That's been requested here. But this is one of those programs that you hope it's going to grow into something, because this is going to make an impact on both of these towns if we're able to get both these projects done.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So basically, are you asking? You're asking for consideration of the project as submitted at this time, knowing that there is no allocation now that will be coming at a later time.
Yep, just to approve the
grant
application.
Okay, so move the grant application as presented.
Yeah, and I'll second that.
I have a motion to second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
That's been approved.
Ryan, good work.
You bet.
Ryan.
Thank you.
That takes us down to agency reports. Heartland Senior Service, Liz Beck. Morning.
Good morning.
Liz, it's always good to see you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here with this team. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ready, Freddy, as they say.
Okay, so it is a pleasure to meet with you this morning. I've been with Heartland for almost 4 years now, and in those years we've certainly faced a number of challenges, but I believe we've made some progress. And I hope that the progress that we've made will continue to ameliorate some of those ongoing challenges. But here is where we are. We offer four different services: activities, adult day center, nutrition, and outreach. As you know, our funding comes primarily from ASSET, Aging Resources of Central Iowa, and private support. Without any one of these sources, Heartland would be forced to cut back services or maybe even eliminate some services. As the population of seniors continues to increase in Iowa and Story County, including the oldest of the old, the future will mandate a growing need for these four services. Over the past 7 months, the Heartland Board of Directors has been focused on updating the strategic plan implemented in 2011 and making sure that we document our accomplishments as well as looking to the future, not only for delivering the right services, but also anticipating the services that might be needed. In the process, the board has engaged a number of outside individuals and entities to help look to the future and see possibilities for partnerships and collaborations. In the middle of the whole scrutiny has been the conversation about facilities. What we have, what we need, and where we might possibly go. The five task forces of this strategic plan: facilities, finances, programs and services, staff, and awareness, have been doing work over the last 6 months and are expecting to have a report to the board of directors in either April or May, and then the decision about next steps comes soon after. There are a lot of variables in this process, and the complexity gets a bit overwhelming at certain points. It would be really easy to throw up their hands and walk away, but the board has a path, and they have been staying the course. It is a testament to their belief in the future of Heartland, and essentially the decision will come down to whether we stay where we are or whether we build a new facility or something else. In either case, there will be a very critical piece, and that will be whether or not we can raise the funds to renovate or build new. I doubt if anyone is in Story County who does not believe we need a new building, and I've heard that over and over. However, a new building, a remodeled building, or anything else will require funding, and that is a huge obstacle that the board will need to consider. The positive coming out of all of these years and months of work and study is that we have done due diligence in investigating possibilities, doing the necessary groundwork in the areas of needs, constructions, and financing. Even as the board has been working on our future, we continue to deliver services to the seniors in Story County. Here's the update. Phyllis Craig in Activities has become our activity director in July 2014. She has brought a high level of energy and a bundle of ideas to the position. In fact, we have a number of new initiatives. Bunko, Arts and Crafts Days, Monthly Lunch and Learns, Sunday Afternoon Bridge Lessons, Mexican Train Dominoes, among others. And we stay with the regulars, which is Duplicate Bridge, Friday Afternoon Cards, Book Discussions, Country Jam, and the ever-popular Thursday Afternoon Bingo, for which we just renewed our gambling license. New participants are coming through the doors, and that's good news for us, and engaging seniors in social activities is clearly important and critical to their well-being. The Adult Day Center. This is our hidden treasure. It's the only daycare facility in Story County that is not associated with a senior housing facility. If this service were not available, many of those who come in for either a day or for the entire week would be placed in long-term care facility. We literally allow our participants to be able to stay in their home with their families and caregivers. Lori Leibarger and her staff continue to provide personal-centered care to the participants, to oversee their medical needs while at the day center, and to continually engage the participants in social, physical, and intellectual activities concomitant with their individual abilities. I cannot praise this service enough, and I know the caregivers who bring their loved ones in would join me with that praise. Nutrition. This has been a big year for nutrition. Through grants and private donations, we've been able to upgrade the kitchen to make our food storage and meal production more safe and more efficient. We have added two critically important cooler refrigerators that have significantly increased our food safety. And through a Story County Community Foundation grant, we have a combination oven that cuts our food prep time in huge margins. We are now able to produce different meals than possible than we could possibly in the past. Food items such as chicken that is prepared to look and taste like fried chicken, but prepared in the special oven that actually bakes it. This is a $40,000 oven project. This project also entailed removing asbestos from the area, installing better venting hoods, and increasing the size of the pantry. In addition, Heartland's been working with, has been accepted by the Food Bank of Iowa, and we're able to get bulk food and now store it appropriately. Last fiscal year, we served 38,000 meals to residents in Story County. 20,600 of those were in our congregate meal sites of Ames, Huxley, Colo, and Story City. The remaining 8,024 were home-delivered meals outside the city limits of Ames. In addition to providing nutritious meals, congregate meal sites and volunteers who deliver these meals to the homes serve as a type of gatekeeper service. When someone who is a regular at a congregate meal does not show up, that is a flag to the others attending and our site manager. When someone does not answer the door, that is a flag to our volunteers. Heartland has a set of procedure that alerts an emergency contact or local authorities to check on that person. Typically, everything's okay, but at least once or twice a year, everything is not okay. And that gatekeeper function has been really important. Outreach. This service is our least known, but probably needs to become our most visible. Seniors' preferences are to stay in their homes as long as possible, and the outreach staff are our field people who can help make that happen. Research documents that staying in their home extends a senior's life expectancy as well as saving them thousands of dollars. Heartland's two half-time outreach specialists split the county north and south and provide face-to-face service. We are finding the number of seniors who need help accessing resources or getting referrals is growing. The specialists also help by making it easy for them to sign up for home-delivered meals or to learn about Adult Day Center. They become a feeder to the rest of our services at Heartland. To accommodate the growing needs and the requests for our outreach visits, we are making adjustments to our staffing by separating the administrative part from the field work. This will allow us to hire a third specialist at the same time we manage the administrative and personnel side of the program at no additional cost to the way we're using our dollars. Talking about our service is important, but I believe that the stories of those we serve have the huge impact on knowing how important Heartland Senior Services is to our county. From the outreach program, Sally is a 70-year-old living in Ames. She has a history of spinal stenosis and a cleft palate. She qualifies for subsidized housing. She needed a new partial plate, the old one broke in half, and she had no dental benefits. The cost of a new partial plate is $777. We obtained $200 from Aging Resources to help pay for this new plate. We've applied for $75 from our Heartland Outreach Emergency Fund, and she's able to get the balance from a son and a friend. She plans to pay them back a little at a time. This new partial plate will allow Sally to swallow without choking and drink liquids without it coming out her nose. From nutrition, Eloise became a home-delivered participant in September. She lives in a rural area. She's getting five meals a week from us. She now lives alone because her daughter left home recently. She has no spouse. She has mobility and standing issues, cannot drive, and lives in a community without a grocery store. The nearest grocery store is 5 miles of highway driving. Eloise's income is less than $750 per month, and it's all Social Security. She's concerned about being able to pay her bills for this winter. She's agreed to send Heartland $5 a month for meals and will probably receive between 21 and 23 meals per month, which is about 23 cents a meal that she'll be paying us. We'll be able to get some other additional dollars from home-delivered meals through ASSAT and Aging Resources, 70 cents from the USDA, and some other funding sources, but we're not covering our direct and indirect costs and overhead costs. Outreach and nutrition together. Outreach got a call about checking on Elmer, and he's an 87-year-old gentleman whose wife is hospitalized and will be moving to a nursing home. He did not think his wife, Lola, would be coming home from the facility due to her fragility and her forgetfulness. He's not sure how he's going to pay for her care as well as his living expenses. So we're now delivering meals to Elmer to help defray the cost of food so he has more money to spend on his wife. And we're also seeking ways to get additional dollars to help Elmer pay for more care for his wife. The Adult Day Center. Sarah lives on a farm in Storey County. She comes to the day center every day on the HRTA bus. It's a long ride for her, about 45 minutes. She and her husband have been married almost 60 years, but her husband's not able to care for her day in and day out. ADC provides a needed respite for him so that he does not have to put her in a facility. The family has told me they are sure that if he has to place Sarah in a facility, his health and well-being will decline significantly. So, what are our barriers? The major challenge is always funding. As we anticipate increasing needs for our services, we're faced with stable or decreased funding. Our aging resources budget for FY15 and FY16 is the same as it's been for the past 2 years. In the area of nutrition, the news continues to report that beef and pork prices will be rising dramatically due to the double whammy of the economy and weather. Herds and pens were reduced because of rising cost of feed and the time it takes to raise a calf to market. Cattle herds are down because of droughts, and now the hog markets are affected by disease. This year, we've also been affected with scheduling public transportation, especially adult day center participants, and most of our congregate meal participants rely on HERTA, since it is the only public paratransit operation in the county. The impact on adult day center and nutrition actually equates to a loss of dollars. In February alone, ADC lost 176 units of service, which computes to $1,500 in lost funding, none of which we can recoup. And when ADC is down, so are congregate meals. Those 176 congregate meals equals $900 loss in income. So I'm worried that the loss of units will be reflected in our FY16 budget to asset, and that will look as if we aren't meeting our mission and we aren't providing enough service. And I'm worried that it might be a consideration to cut our funding, which I hope does not happen. And finally, one of our barriers is our building itself. We need additional space in the adult day center that can segment the population of dementia-specific versus those who are old and physically frail. We also need a quiet room where we can remove some people who need just a little time by themselves to calm down and stay with us. We also have one room that serves our meals as well as activities, and it crowds both the activities and the lunchroom participants. So it would be nice to have multiple rooms where we could leave the lunchroom participants there and then provide additional activities and more than one at a time. Nevertheless, we're exceptionally grateful for the City of Ames, who renewed our lease for another 25 years at the annual cost of $1 a year. We simply can't beat the price. As Heartland embarks on its second 40 years of service, we believe that what we do will continue to be a valuable service to the residents of Story County, and we certainly appreciate the support you're giving us in making that happen. Thank you. Questions?
Well, Liz, you raised several thoughts, and I hate to even try to begin to analyze exactly what is the most appropriate way. First of all, let me say I applaud your strategic planning on behalf of your board and your visioning, and I certainly think that you are doing all that you can to be the kind of outspoken advocate for the needs of seniors currently in the program and those who could will futurely need those expanded services. However, I want to ask a couple things. You first mentioned facilities, and that was one of those, and looking at whether or not to relocate in a new facility or be able to refurbish, your current one and the overall cost associated to that. Have you looked at the model that YSS used some years ago? Obviously, they did have a lot of donors and restricted folks that helped contribute towards some of that building cost. I'm not sure exactly whether or not you have a network quite like that. It would be nice if, some of those funds could come in. But obviously, you would probably need to think about some strategic fundraising efforts, no matter which way you go, whether you buy, build or refurbish. And I'm sure you've given thought to that. So that's one of the thoughts that comes to mind. As you was talking about the different programs, the adult daycare, the other types of things, is there and do you provide long-term care counseling for some of the clients that are served there, or is that something that's left up to individual families?
Okay, do you want me to answer the first one about the funding of the building?
Either way.
Okay, let me take that on. Mary Greeley Hospital gave us $12,000 to do a master plan for the current building, and Scott Sankey from RDG Architects gave us his time to create a look at the building. So we have those plans, and it does allow us to expand about 3,000 square feet in the space we have. We have, and we know what that cost would be approximately, but we know also where we are. We have to rip out all the infrastructure and put in new. The estimate, one of our board members, Harold Pike, has helped us, and the estimate for staying there or building new probably is the same without any consideration for land costs. When we make that decision about what we're going to do, stay or move or whatever, we have an offer from a professional fundraiser to do a feasibility study for us at no hourly fee but the plane ticket to get here. So do we have those donors? That's what that feasibility study will tell us. Can we raise the money? We don't know. But we're trying to look at everything before we get there so we don't have any big voids that the feasibility study needs to fill. In terms of long-term care, actually we know a lot about those long-term care facilities, not only here in Story County, but some in Polk County. We would be there to answer questions, but we would not be a referral service. Is that, you know, we can answer.
The idea is more or less if individuals wanted to receive information about it, you would be in a position to refer them to someone that could give them the kind of information.
Exactly. And that's what our outreach people can do. And they also work with Aging Resources and their outreach people, which is a larger group. But we're primarily focused on Story County. And one of the things that has happened is we have a number of calls from Boone County, and quite frankly, I've asked the staff to focus solely on Story County. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of resources. We don't get reimbursed. So,
and the one question I always hate to ask is, as you've outlined all the needs and what it might take to get there, have you already started putting pencils together that saying if you don't receive certain amount of funding, that you may have to cut back in these areas?
We haven't put anything together. We have a director of development who has been terrific in helping us get those resources. But we would have to limit. We would simply have to. We have to pay the bills. We have to pay the raw food costs. We have to pay the salaries. When we reduce staff in adult day center, that then reduces the number of people we can bring in because we are required by law to have a ratio. We can only produce so much food. And under Mary Ellen Metzger, who's arrived from Iowa State, we don't throw away a lot of food. We don't have a lot of food. It's not a lot of, yesterday there was one piece left for a second. And it was, it was St. Patrick's Day, so we could have had more people, but she's not planning on that. So we're trying to hold them as best we can. What we can't anticipate is, how many times have I replaced or repaired toilets? How many times have I had a break in a sewer line?
And the older the building, the more of those likelihoods are going to occur.
Let's talk about facilities a little more. But before I get there, I just want to comment. Liz, you've spent your career in this community, stepping up and stepping in, and you did it again with Heartland, and we're so appreciative where it was when you stepped in to take it on, and where not that we don't still have challenges, but where it looks like we're headed. So, thank you so much. It's really strange to say in a community where a third of our population is college students, and it's growing almost exponentially, it feels like, that we truly are an aging community. I mean, the reality is the services that Heartland provides are just growing. So facility, let's go to that. I met with, I think it was your facility committee. Mm-hmm. Is that right? I met mm-hmm. with the facility committee probably a month or so ago. And the bug I put in their ear, and I want to mention it to you guys just because I think it's something we need to keep our eye on as we go. Clearly our CLP building, its intended purpose is how it's being used today. But we know all of that's changing. I don't have a real clear picture, ultimately, of how CLP is going to be used once we get to the end of where we're going. My preference is that it continues to be used exactly how it's used for that population. That said, if as we get to the end of this thing, we find that that building is not being utilized, I think it makes a lot of sense to consider something like Heartland for that. I mentioned it to the Facilities Committee as a real, you know, again, my first preference is that we continue to use CLP exactly how we're using it. But we don't need a building that's three-quarters empty over there either. That's not serving anybody. And so I just laid it out there for the Facility Committee that you want to pay close attention to where this thing goes over the next 18 months, because it's, we're going to have a clearer picture of where those things are going. And so I just wanted you guys to be aware that I had mentioned that to Heartland at that point. I personally do not believe that staying where Heartland is a feasible alternative. I think you've got major, major issues that some renovations don't take care of. I worry about the possibility of funding for an entirely new building for Heartland. And so I have really taken on the mindset of what existing buildings are out there that can be configured to serve it. The reality is there's one really, really good one in Story County. It happens to be the CLP building, if it all were to work out that way. It's a building that without really very much renovation at all would really suit their needs. So,
well, I mean, I appreciate you bringing it up, but I don't think it's realistic at this point to build your hopes on the possibility of that. I think they've got to explore, you know, all the other avenues that are currently there. Again, location for seniors transportation-wise, I keep thinking on the south end of Ames, South 16th Street, that old area there, you know, that may present some future opportunities. I'm not real sure what building I'm thinking of. Remember the old where the printing company has gone into, you know, used to be? That probably is maybe too cost prohibitive to even think about reconfiguring into a facility.
Are you talking about where Sigler is on South Riverside?
What is that? Have you ever, and I don't know, maybe that's not even a possibility. It's off the path for one.
Well, why I'm hesitating is as a member of the former member of the Ames Planning and Zoning Commission, that would come off the tax rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't foresee that as being a simple process.
Right, right. Good point.
And so if someone were willing, I mean, here's where one of my concerns would be, and this is my personal concern and not the board's. I'm not sure Heartland wants to own a building.
Well, right.
And I'm not sure, I mean, I don't know how well that would work. So I know what we would do with a renovation. I can see that clearly. What I can't see is where we're going to get the land that would come off the tax rolls, where we're going to be able to find the right kind of access. I mean, maybe there's something on South Duff. But there's another piece in the works, and I don't want to jump ahead of anything, but we are in conversations, very early conversations, with Iowa State University and their new senior director of economic development, Mike Crum. And we've met with Michael about possibilities for combining and creating a kind of scenario where, much like when I worked with the child care unit on South Campus,
right. Building
a facility that would allow the university and Heartland and the county to collaborate on senior issues and aging. And it involves adaptive design, kinesiology, nutrition, psychology, sociology. But the reality is we probably might need a separate place for adult day center. That has a different set of needs where we would still use students in research, but we operate 362 days a year. We don't get to take off during breaks. But that conversation, that proposal went in a couple years ago, and it could come back on the table, and it could be something that would be there. But that's federal funds, and so, you know, that's another long trip down the road. And I don't want to jump ahead of the university.
Well, there aren't any short answers. Oh, I mean, the reality is there's not any quick answers. To get to start to raising funds, I mean, we're months out. But it's important that we be planning these things. And Wayne, the only reason that I bring it up is I feel really strongly that when I have a conversation with a group in an appropriate time frame, I bring it to the two of you so that you know I had that conversation.
Right.
Second thing is, the only reason I said it to that facilities group is just something to keep your eye on as you're moving through this process. Don't put all your eggs in any one basket, but be aware that there are these possibilities. And then as a Story County supervisor, it's our job to try to look out into the future to what changes may be coming. And it's really foggy, Wayne, what's going to happen with the CLP building to me. But I think it's important that we continue to consider what could happen depending on how all kinds of other things move.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you in that regard. I think the reality of something like that is just sometimes when we're just at an early stage of trying to reconfigure what's going to happen there by adding another thought process like this sometimes creates more animosity, but tension and stress.
I hear you. I hear
your
concern.
They assume that this is becoming maybe something that we are as a board should be thinking about doing. And I just caution us in terms of how we approach that. And I know in your conversation you handled it the way that it should have been handled. I'm confident in that. But I just caution us in terms of how we, how we project some of these types of concepts, because people in the community who are vested in a certain program or a certain situation will interpret things the way that's comfortable for them. And I don't want Heartland to be caught up in the middle of that, nor would I want the Board of Supervisors to be caught up in a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding of how we are looking at all the different possibilities. But I certainly think that is certainly something that could be in the realm of the possibility.
And I think it's a really valid concern you bring up, and it's something that I considered before I mentioned it. But Wayne, you've been working with me for
exactly.
4 years now.
Exactly.
You know that I just kind of lay the cards on the table and go where they go. And I felt like that today with Liz here was completely the appropriate time for me to alert you guys
that I had that
conversation. And I want to underscore one more time, Wayne, my preference is that we continue to offer the services and programs out of the CLP building that are currently there. But the reality is the three of us don't have any control over that anymore. Second preference is that we don't have an empty county building
sitting
there not being utilized. So that's why I bring it up. I think your concern is really valid, and people are going to take things however they want to take them. I just don't know any way to be other than just, guys, here's what I know, here's what I think, and here's what I've done.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then that brings us back to today, and they're just having discussions, and I appreciate Rick's openness and letting us know where his conversation was at, and regardless, the Heartland board is going to be the one that's going to make the decision as to where they're going to go, and I think as a board that we're going to be here to support them and offer any input that we can offer. So
good, thank you.
Did you have more questions?
Well, I did, but then I think I know the answer. From listening to you, you've considered, you and your board have laid out a strategic plan, and part of the planning process is to look at various contingencies. And have you thought about a timetable, though, in terms of where you'd like to be within the next 90 days, a year, 2 years out, et cetera?
The board would like to have the task force report either, we're not going to happen in March, which is next Monday, so it'll be April or May, and then if it comes in April, then try and have a decision by June of which way to go and start working on whatever that is. I'm expecting to retire no later than August, so it'd be nice from my perspective if we could have some path for the new person laid out that they would buy into rather than surprising that new person after they come on board.
Hey, I'm not completely convinced you're going to be allowed to retire.
So I planned this trip out of the country during the asset period so that you have to hire someone. No. But I'm really concern, I would be concerned if we don't have a plan and then a new person comes on board and that plan doesn't fit with their energy or drive. And so it would be really, really nice to have that. But we also don't want to rush to judgment.
Very good. Very good.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Barb Steinbeck is going to submit her report at a later date. So that moves us to liaison assignments and committee meetings. Wayne.
I just had a brief meeting yesterday with Ron Christian, just as an update where things were and just keeping him in the loop in terms of, you know, how decisions are basically moving forward. And told him that as the Central Iowa a governing board in the mental health redesign meets and make decisions, that I would try to make sure that I kept him as abreast of what was taking place. I didn't want him to, you know, to be surprised by anything like that. We've always been open as a board with him, and he very much just appreciated that. So, but he feels that things are moving along right now, quite well. He did tell me that. Like Liz, that he and his staff, they're starting to look at different scenarios and future plans and operations, not knowing for sure exactly what's going to happen, but it's just a way to engage staff in terms of are there better ways of delivering services that they're currently doing right now, and then under the new regionalization plan, could CLB be positioning itself with some of its service that could be more regional in scope, and I applauded him for that effort, and I just told him I would mention that.
I think it's exactly what they should be doing, Wayne, and I join you in applauding them for that, and I would go so far to say on a personal basis, not as a Story County board member, but I would be glad to assist them in any way I can. I think our hands as Board of Supervisors, I mean, we got a little different role in this thing now.
Exactly.
But I applaud them looking at all possibilities.
Great.
No.
Okay. Public forum number two, comment from the public. On items not on the agenda, the board may not take any action on the comments or the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Nobody moving towards the mic announcements from the supervisor. Wayne.
Yeah, briefly, we just finished our ISAC Spring School, which was very well attended. It was just an outstanding couple days. And I did want to mention while Drew is here that Amy Coolers did present to the supervisors and also to a couple other groups regarding Connect Iowa, and I did share some information that she was unable to access. And Drew, I saw your email yesterday, and thank you again for submitting that to us. And I think the indication, I told her at this point, now that we're through the budgeting work session and some of my other duties are not as tenuous and tedious as it has been, that I would probably be able to work more closely with Drew as we try to see what additional information we would need. Black Hawk County, to my knowledge, is the only other county that has received the designation that I'm hopeful Story County will be able to receive. And so through our efforts, working with Drew and Amy, and we may be able to get the data that we need. So I just want to again thank Drew for all of the work that he's done on behalf of, at my suggestion and recommendation and so forth. So,
outstanding.
Yeah.
Nope. It looks like we are going to be a go for the 31st of March here at 7 o'clock for the public information meeting for the proposed e-cigarette ordinance, and then again on the 3rd of April at Ames City Council Chambers. And I'll work with Denise Denton from YSS to make notification to get the word out. So put that on your calendars, if you would.
Okay.
So what time both of those?
7 o'clock.
Okay. 7 p.m. Okay.
That's it for me.
I move adjournment.
Second.
Motion a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.